When you haven't found love, it can feel like everyone else has. It's in every movie, every song, and all the PDA. Looking for love sucks. Thankfully, California Psychics can give you the guidance you need to find the one. We guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com and experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
In the air to left field, struck pretty well. Burleson going back, looking up, it's gone. Xander Bogaerts connects on his seventh home run of the year. Padres get a run back. It's 8-2.
You can tell it's 8-2 because the great Don Orsillo seems kind of mellow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good point.
Another home run.
Well, there you go. Okay.
Padres poured it on. It was great. I was watching the game yesterday while getting a whole bunch of work done, and Mark Grant, right at the beginning of the game, said, I predict that we're going to pour it on today. I believe that we're going to have a lot of runs, and I don't know what he knew, especially because we haven't been scoring a lot of runs, but that's exactly what happened. Padres end up winning 9-2, finish their road trip at 5-5. Now, Tammy, this is a very important week for the San Diego Padres.
Okay.
Right now, if the season was to end, we have the final playoff spot, but there are so many teams that are right there, including the team that we beat last night, the St. Louis Cardinals. We still need to make a deal before the trade deadline, which is this Thursday. We still need somebody that can play left field and be a consistent bat. The Padres know that. AJ Preller will be working on that. It should be a very interesting week to see who we get, who we give up, if we give up or get anybody.
One of the cool things that I saw yesterday was when Xander Bogaerts gave two young men who were at the game two of his bats because he said they called his home run, he made a home run, and he brought them both bats. I thought that was really cool. And in the picture, one of the kids is up on his tippy toes. Trying to stand next to him to feel a little bigger, I guess.
Well, Xander should be in a good mood, man. He is red hot lately. Well, the Padres' reward for a 5-5 road trip is facing the Mets right off the bat back at home tonight, and that means the return of Juan Soto. And that means also tomorrow, Sandless Beach Towel Night. First 40,000 fans in attendance will receive that Sandless Beach Towel presented by Southwest Airlines. Full disclosure, I've had a sneak peek. You're going to love it. That is tomorrow night at Petco Park. Padres versus Mets. And, of course, every pitch of every game always heard on our sister station, 97.3 The Fan. Right now, though, let's get you to see Muscadine Bloodline next month, part of our River Concert Series at Sequan Casino Resort.
I brought my daughter Morgan last week when we saw Dylan Marlowe. And as we were pulling up to Sequan, the first thing she said, I couldn't believe this. She goes, "Ooh, is that the Padres suite?" I was like, really?
Got to get in that suite.
I know.
You'll go to Sequan Casino Resort for that show next month, part of our River Concert Series, by taking on Tammy and Tammy's College of Hollywood Knowledge. 833-287-1037. Win or lose, that's what you get. Win, you get $100 too. 833-287-1037. Call right now for Tammy's College of Hollywood Knowledge with John and Tammy. San Diego's morning show on KSON.
George Lucas!
Looking at the footage, there's grown men weeping, women throwing their clothes on stage. Okay. It was a madhouse.
There was no women throwing their clothes on stage. Let's be honest about that.
I'm sure there were a couple of grown men weeping, though.
That I would agree with. So George Lucas was on a panel to talk about the Lucas Museum of Narrative Art, and it came about because George Lucas himself is a big collector. He owns the first drawing of Flash Gordon. He owns original panels of Peanuts comic strips, complete with notes from Charles Schulz, early drawings of Iron Man and the Black Panther. And then he moved on to paintings and things that had to do with Star Wars. And he said, I need a place to put all this, and I can't get rid of it.
Yeah, he said, I refuse to sell it. I can never do that. And now he's got a museum that is roughly the size of an IKEA store.
Wow.
And of course, because it's George Lucas, it resembles a giant space cruiser. It's 300,000 square feet.
That's insane.
The museum sits right next to the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum, right near several other museums and USC. No word on when it's going to open, but man, back to Lucas appearing at Comic-Con.
No one would believe that he had never been there in all the years of Comic-Con.
The original Star Wars booth, quote-unquote, at Comic-Con was a table with a poster of the movie behind it. That was it. And then fast forward to what we saw yesterday. George Lucas is 81 years old. He's seen everything. The man is a billionaire. And yet he seemed so embarrassed and shy being on stage and being paid attention to, for lack of a better word. Yeah. Okay.
It's awesome.
I did okay with my life, man. Man, if you were there, we would love to hear what that was like. 833-287-1037. You're a half hour away to winning up to $1,000 cash. It's the return of John and Tammy's high-low jackpot. Now, I guarantee, no matter how busy your weekend was, nobody had a more action-packed weekend than producer Jessica.
Okay, so first and foremost, Jess, you actually don't look anywhere near as tired as I thought you were going to look today. It's really quite amazing what you did that you accomplished in just a couple of days.
I really did everything. I did it all.
Producer Jessica got off the air on Friday with us, went to the airport, and hours later was hanging out with Beyonce. No big deal. In Vegas. You saw Beyonce's show. You said that she is what? The biggest entertainer of our time?
I think the greatest, our greatest living performer.
Our greatest living performer. Wow, that's...
I think, for me personally, now I know not everybody's going to have that opinion.
Right.
But I think she's just so incredible live. In the feeling in that venue, I've never heard a crowd as loud as I did on that show Friday night. It was incredible. She cried. It was beautiful.
She cried?
Yeah. She got really emotional because the crowd was so loud.
And that was Friday night, right?
That was my Friday night, yeah.
Right. And she only had one more show of this tour, so that could have been part of it as well.
Yeah, it was the final two shows, yeah.
Now, that would be enough, but not good enough for producer Jessica.
Nope.
Had to top it on Saturday. What did you do on Saturday?
Saturday, I went to the Sphere and saw the Backstreet Boys.
Wow.
The Sphere is unlike any experience you guys will ever have at a concert.
Would you call it an experience?
No.
My best friend Darcy, she took her husband to go see Kenny Chesney, and at first her husband Don was like, I'll just go because she wants me to go. Mm-hmm. He said it was the coolest thing he's ever seen in his life, experiencing something in the Sphere.
Our coworker Steve Woods went to go see the Eagles, said the same thing. And he went as far as to say, I really don't want to see any other concerts now.
No, after something like that, I suppose.
It's really next level. The beginning of the show was almost like a ride. Like, I tell everybody, don't actually stand up until they get on stage, because the first, 5 minutes of the graphics and everything when the show starts, you feel like you're on a spaceship going through space.
I have read some criticism of the Sphere that says the visuals and the whole Sphere itself distracts from the live performance that's happening at the same time. Like, you don't even need the band. The visuals kind of overtake everything. Did you experience that?
Not at all, no. I liked everything together. I think it made the show so much more impactful on me. And yet it felt so intimate with the audience, which was weird.
Well, it's almost like, it's like basically a 4D experience.
Yeah.
And so every little part is important.
Crowd was into it. They told everybody to wear white, and I would say 90% of the people took that memo.
The capacity of the Sphere is between 17,000 and 20,000, by the way. So how many dudes? Like five?
No, there was actually a good amount. Now, most of them were with their wives.
Sure.
Yes.
I had two dudes with me, so.
And what time did you get up to go to the airport the next morning?
At 5 a.m.
Oof.
Yeah.
So two shows, Friday night, Saturday night, up for the airport Sunday morning at 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
And you're back home by 8 a.m. Are you out of your mind?
Oh, I slept most of yesterday.
I bet.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good,
but
good.
It was way worth it, I bet.
Oh, it was so worth it. I can't get over the experience. Spend the extra money. Make it a once-in-a-lifetime trip, because it's so worth the money. It is so cool.
I'm very impressed by how peppy you seem to be today.
And by the way, if you want to win tickets to the Sphere, remember we're giving away Zach Brown tickets for the Sphere at KSON.com.
John and Tammy, San Diego's Morning Show.
Tammy's College of Hollywood Knowledge. Tammy's College of Hollywood Knowledge. Woo!
Anthony in Logan Heights. What's going on, man?
I'm on my way to work right now.
Okay, well, do me a favor and kick Tammy out of our studio.
Bye, Tammy.
All right, good luck, honey.
Anthony, five pop culture questions for you. You get more right than Tam, you get $100 thanks to a Garage Door and Gate Store, Main Street and Lakeside. For custom gates and garage doors, a Garage Door and Gate Store.com. Also want to remind you, Anthony, all ties go to Tammy, okay?
Okay.
A new Air Bud movie is in the works and expected to hit theaters next summer. It's called Air Bud Returns. What kind of animal is Air Bud?
Golden Retriever.
Harry Styles has a new brand called Pleasing Yourself, featuring products that are exactly what you think they are. What group was Harry in before he went solo?
Harry Styles. I don't know.
Okay, apparently soap operas are still a thing. Peacock has renewed Days of Our Lives, so let's play the high-low game. Days of Our Lives has been on the air for 60 years. Is that too high or too low?
Too low.
Nick Jonas says he was asked uncomfortable questions about sex when he was a teenager. Nick is also an actor and co-starred as a pilot in what movie that featured The Rock, Kevin Hart, and Jack Black?
The Rock, Kevin Hart, and Jack Black. Was it, Jumanji?
Ice Cube and Eva Longoria star in a new version of War of the Worlds for Prime Video. The last War of the Worlds remake was the 2005 Tom Cruise film. Who directed it?
I don't know.
All right, let's get Tam back in. Anthony, you said you're going to work. What do you do, pal?
I do striping, painting.
Anthony did 3 out of 5, Tam.
Nice job, Anthony.
A new Air Bud movie is in the works and expected to hit theaters next summer. It's called Air Bud Returns. What kind of animal is Air Bud?
A dog.
A dog is right. Anthony went even more specific, went Golden Retriever. 1-1. Harry Styles has a new brand called Pleasing Yourself, featuring products that are exactly what you think they are. What group was Harry in before he went solo?
One Direction.
That is right. It is 2-1. Anthony did not know that. Apparently soap operas are still a thing, as Peacock has renewed Days of Our Lives. So let's play the high-low game. Days of Our Lives has been on the air for 60 years. Is that too high or too low?
I think too low.
What in the world is happening? 63 years. You're both right. That's amazing. Anyway, Nick went with too low as well, so it's 3-2, Tammy. Tammy, Nick Jonas says he was asked uncomfortable questions about sex when he was a teenager. Nick is also an actor and co-starred as a pilot in what movie that featured The Rock, Kevin Hart, and Jack Black?
Jumanji.
That is right, Anthony. That 4-3, Tammy. And finally, Ice Cube and Eva Longoria will star in a new version of War of the Worlds for Prime Video. The last War of the Worlds remake was the 2005 Tom Cruise film, directed by whom?
I can't.
You know, I probably wouldn't have asked if it wasn't the most successful director of all time, Steven Spielberg, which means today Tammy wins by a score of 4-3. Anthony, you're not going to get any of Tammy's money, but we have a great prize for you, pal.
Anthony, you now have a pair of tickets to join us for Muscadine Bloodline at Sequan Casino Resort for their River Concert Series on August 14th.
Nice.
Enjoy that, pal. We'll see you out at the River Concert Series. Before you leave, however, I do have to have you say this.
I'm Anthony in Logan Heights, and I flunked out of Tammy's College of Hollywood Knowledge.
My name is Happy Gilmore. 30 years ago, I decided to give golf a try.
But even when you're at the top of your game, you can always shank one.
Happy Gilmore sucks.
Oh, eat a bag of...
Did you like Happy Gilmore too?
John, I want you to share what you thought first. Just because I had to play catch up before I could watch Happy Gilmore 2.
Going to say this to start. I loved Happy Gilmore, the original. I was looking forward to this, but I also had some trepidation.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Because, you know, sequels. I'm going to give it a C.
Okay.
I liked the cameos. I laughed a few times, but nowhere near as much as I laughed the first time. And maybe it's because it was 30 years ago. I don't know. I just think mostly because it wasn't, in my opinion, that good. I'm sorry.
I wonder.
My opinion.
Right. Sure. Absolutely. And it's not going to be everybody's cup of tea. Now, I wonder, had you done what I did, if you would have liked it more. And I'll explain. So I've only seen bits and pieces of Happy Gilmore. Just a couple of scenes here and there. I know what it's about. Blah, blah, blah. So I decided before I could watch Happy Gilmore 2, I needed to watch the original Happy Gilmore. Now, I was in the middle, this is going to sound weird, but I was in the middle of cleaning out my whole jewelry box. So I had everything out on my bed. I was untangling necklaces, doing whatever, because it was a disaster. So I wasn't 100% focused on Happy Gilmore, but I liked it, right? And just reminding me of some of the things that I've missed and why I've maybe missed some questions in Tammy's College of Hollywood knowledge that,
yes,
that
I
got.
I have written many questions concerning Happy Gilmore.
Yes. And then for Happy Gilmore 2, I actually sat down in the living room with my husband to watch this one. And I have to say, I really liked it. Now, could it have been the mood that I was in? For sure. Because as I was cleaning out all my jewelry stuff, I found a picture of my mother, who is no longer here. I lost my mom very young. And I also found a letter that she had written me.
Oh, wow.
As a young adult. And so that just made me feel really good, right? So I was in this good mood. And it was during Happy Gilmore 2. Now, mind you, I watched the first one, that I realized that Happy Gilmore's girl is named Virginia. Well, that's my mom's name. And a million times Virginia was said in Happy Gilmore 2. And every time he said Virginia, I smiled. It took me halfway through Happy Gilmore, the original, by the way, to realize that that was Julie Bowen playing her.
The Modern
Family's Claire Dunphy.
Where have you been for 30 years?
I know. Well, I told you I hadn't seen it. So I was in this really
good
movie.
Did you know he played golf?
Yes. Stop that. Now, I knew it wasn't going to be some great life-changing movie. I knew that. I knew it was going to be silly. It was Adam Sandler. It was going to be dopey. It was going to, you know, sometimes be groaning humor. But my husband laughed a lot, and I laughed a lot. And I liked all the little inside jokes. I really enjoyed it. I think it's my attitude that I went into watching it. That's what I think.
I certainly didn't have a bad attitude. I was Saturday night. I was with my girlfriend. I was looking. I was immensely looking forward to it. Maybe that's the problem.
I think you nailed it on the head when you said, I love the original, but that was 30 years ago. If you had watched the original first and then watched Happy Gilmore 2.
Right, back to back.
I think you would have liked it better. You know? And you're remembering from a time period where movies were very different when you loved that one.
Well,
so
I
that's
remember
my
this.
Take.
During Happy Gilmore, the original, I laughed out loud a ton. Mm-hmm. During Happy Gilmore 2, I laughed out loud once in a while.
Oh. I loved how dumb and silly and stupid it was. I just enjoyed it. But someone who's an even bigger fan and had the greatest little post on her Instagram stories recently was our former producer, Steph, and she has got a rich history with Adam Sandler. She's going to join us next and share it. It's really cute. And it's really endearing.
Good morning.
Good morning, former producer Steph. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're very, very, very happy to be speaking to you, producer Steph. As we're talking about Happy Gilmore 2's premiere on Friday on Netflix, there's not a bigger Adam Sandler fan that we know than our former producer back home in Wisconsin, producer Steph.
I was sharing this with John and producer Jessica, and I believe it was in your Instagram stories or your Facebook stories.
What are you laughing at already, you weirdo?
But producer Steph is a huge Adam Sandler fan and has been her whole life. And will you share what you put in your Instagram stories about something that you did when you were in your teens, I believe?
Yes, I spent my hard-earned allowance money and first paycheck money on Adam Sandler comedy CDs, and I hid them from my parents and listened to them in my Discman while they thought I was listening to the Spice Girls.
Why would you feel the need to hide Adam Sandler comedy CDs from your parents?
They are parental advisory explicit lyrics, John. Have you heard any of his 90s comedy CDs and all the raunchy swear words he uses?
The raunchy swear words. That's hilarious. Everything you said about that last sentence is so charming. Discman.
Uh-huh.
Parental guidance.
Now,
raunchy swear words. Spice Girls.
Yes. Producer Steph, obviously, I kind of understand now your little crush on Adam Sandler that has persisted your entire life.
I actually had the opportunity to see Adam Sandler live sitting next to producer Steph. I've seen her in her Adam Sandler mania. She's a mad woman.
Yes. He makes me so giddy, and I do have a confession. It's because he reminded me of one of my first crushes in high school when I saw Billy Madison. He reminded me of Ben, and after that moment, I was, like, obsessed with Adam Sandler, and my sister even mailed him a letter and got an autograph on a postcard for a Christmas gift for me. So while Ben and I are still lifelong friends, my love for Adam Sandler continues on, and yes, my husband, Chef Brad, knows all of this.
Now, I have to say, Steph, I have only seen bits and pieces of Happy Gilmore. So yesterday, I sat down and watched the original while I was doing something else so I could have a much better concept of when I moved on to Happy Gilmore 2. I have to say that I find Adam Sandler much more attractive now than I did then. How about you?
I can see that for sure. Yes, he has definitely aged like fine wine. Is that the right saying?
We're talking about Adam Sandler here, right? Not exactly a eye candy.
Well, no, I don't say that. He's not Brad Pitt, right, obviously, but I find him much more attractive now in his age than I did when he was younger and dopier.
First of all, obviously the guy's massively successful, self-deprecating, clearly a family man, clearly a friend guy. He includes his family and his friends in all of his movies. Mm-hmm. And everything I've heard about him from other people is like, this is not an act. This is the most stand-up guy you'll ever meet. So I guess I can see that. The fact this is something that you can see as attainable.
And he doesn't take life too seriously. I mean, his CD of comedy hits like Ode to My Car or The Longest Pee or The Lunch Lady.
Producer Steph, shame on you. I thought you were listening to the Spice Girls. So what did you guys think of Happy Gilmore 2?
Well, what do you think I thought? Of course I loved it. And I'm not going to give away any spoilers. I try to stay away from all the teases and trailers. Lots of cameos. But something that I really enjoyed is that he put little snippets of the original Happy Gilmore in it, even though a lot of us remember those, but just having that quick visual again and seeing the side-by-side of a lot of them grown up now, that was my favorite.
And the little inside jokes that if you didn't see the first one, you would never get. I found that very charming, too. It's not going to be a life-changing movie. It's not something super serious, and I didn't take it super serious, and I think that's why I was in the right place to watch it.
Well, I have to rewatch it because I made my Captain a diet a little too heavy, so I even asked Brad the next day, I'm like, how did it end?
All right.
Producer Steph. What's happened to you? Lying to your parents about the Spice Girls, drinking too much during a Sandler movie?
Okay, well, come on, John and Tammy. What did you hide from your parents during your teen years?
Yeah, I'm not going to go there at all. Thank you.
Love you guys.
Love you too.
Bye.
John and Tammy, San Diego's morning show on KSON.
Music is the sound of your friends gathering round. And the smiles and the frowns on the faces.
Is that Chris Stapleton's next number one song? Chris Stapleton just appeared on Sesame Street and shared an adorable new song about friendship and music called You've Got a Friend in Music.
So if you're little, if you're grown, know you'll never be alone. Someone somewhere knows what you're going through.
Just remember when you're sad, or the bestie you ever had. Whatever you do, you've got a friend in music.
I don't care if it's Sesame Street. That's good.
It is good. And I wish music was in every single thing that kids do when they learn. And here's why. John, why do you remember all the 50 nifty 50 states?
Because
you can name
song.
Them all.
Because it's a song.
Because you learned
I
it
learned
as
it
a
in
song,
school.
Right? Everything that we remembered that from when we were really little in school is because it's attached to a song. And I'll bet you the things that kids find difficult, if you could put it to music and make it a song, that'll stay in their brain forever. Because we still remember that. I don't remember something from when I was 17, but I remember something when I was 5 years old because it was music.
Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Connecticut. You know what? Sesame Street rocks. Sesame Street is still one of the most important shows that any kid can watch. I watched it as a little boy. I watched it as a father. Mm-hmm. I could watch Sesame Street right now and be entertained. I know that Netflix now has acquired the rights to Sesame Street. Good, because kids need, parents need Sesame Street. It's just, it's a friend is what it is. It's a friend. And Chris Stapleton belongs on Sesame Street. I love that he did that.
Yeah, me too.
Tammy's College of Hollywood Knowledge. Tammy's College of Hollywood Knowledge. Woo!
All right, Hunter is in La Mesa. What's going on, Hunter?
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Doing well, pals. Do me a favor. Kick Tammy out of our studio.
Hey, Tammy. See you later.
Hunter, I got 5 pop culture questions for you. You get more right than Tammy. Get $100 thanks to a garage door and gate store, Main Street and Lakeside. For custom gates and garage doors, a garage door and gate store.com. I want to remind you, all ties go to Tammy, okay?
Okay.
Hunter, there's an interesting article about how NFL teams' names were chosen. True or false, the San Diego Chargers were named that because original owner Baron Hilton claimed he liked the rally cry of charge at sporting events, and he also ran a credit card company.
I'm going to go false.
Happy Gilmore 2 premiered on Netflix on Friday. What was the way Netflix used to be provided to their customers before they became a streaming network?
They mailed in DVDs.
Taylor Schilling turned 41 on Sunday. She played Piper Chapman on this Netflix original show about a women's prison. What was it called?
Orange is the New Black.
Elizabeth Moss also had a birthday last week. She is Offred in The Handmaid's Tale, but also played Peggy Olson for 7 seasons on what other hit TV show?
I'll go with How I Met Your Mother.
The White House hit back at South Park for skewering President Trump. In a statement, they said the show hasn't been relevant in 20 years and has, quote, no authentic or original content. The creators of South Park also created a Tony-winning Broadway musical in their spare time. What is it called?
The Book of Mormon.
Let's get Tam back in. So, Hunter, where are you off to today, man?
I am just getting to my fire station down in Otide.
Oh, right on, you're a firefighter.
Paramedic, yeah.
Oh, yeah, first responder. Thank you for your service.
Don't be surprised if Tammy fakes an injury. Just so she can get some care from you, Hunter. Let me guess, you got a mustache.
Yeah, I'm working on it.
What is it with firefighters and mustaches, man? Firefighters and lifeguards, they always got the best stashes. Hunter did 3 out of 5, Tam. These aren't
nice
easy.
Job.
There's an interesting article about how NFL teams' names were chosen. True or false, the San Diego Chargers were named that because original owner Baron Hilton claimed he liked the rally cry of charge at sporting events. He also ran a credit card company.
Oh, sure, why not?
Yeah, it's true. Hunter went false. It's 1-0 Tam. Happy Gilmore 2 premiered on Netflix on Friday. What was the way Netflix used to be provided to their customers before they became a streaming network?
Well, you would get them through the mail. You would get the discs through the mail.
Yeah, that's right. DVD mail delivery. Hunter knew that. 2-1. Taylor Schilling turned 41 on Sunday. She played Piper Chapman on this Netflix original about a women's prison. What was it called?
Orange is the New Black.
That's right. Hunter knew that. It is 3-2 Tammy. Elizabeth Moss also had a birthday last week. She's Offred in The Handmaid's Tale, but also played Peggy Olson for 7 seasons on which other hit TV show?
Mad Men.
Mad Men is correct. Hunter did not know. It is now 4-2 Tammy. And finally, Tam, the White House hit back at South Park for skewering President Trump. In a statement, they said the show hasn't been relevant for 20 years and has, quote, no authentic or original content. The creators of South Park also created a Tony-winning Broadway musical in their spare time. What is it?
What was their musical? Oh, my gosh.
Book of Mormon.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not what I would have thought it was.
Hunter knew that. So today we finished with a score of 4-3 Tammy. Hunter, unfortunately, you're not going to get any of Tammy's money, but we have a great prize for you.
A pair of tickets to join us for Muscadine Bloodline at Sequan Casino Resort for the River Concert Series on August 14th.
Right on. Thank you.
Hunter, enjoy that. Stay safe. We appreciate what you do, pal. In the meantime, before you go, we have to have you say this.
Hey, I'm Hunter Mamesa, and I flunked out of Tammy's College of Hollywood Knowledge.
You okay?
Yeah, no, he's not.
Be ready for the fire truck. Watch out for the fire truck. Everybody, remain calm. Fire here.
That's the sound of passengers disembarking via slide, emergency slide, over the weekend on an American flight in Denver. And the little crying kid in the beginning of that is because his dad tripped and fell on him because he also had his overhead carry-on with him.
The Denver Fire Department said the problem occurred on board the flight from Denver to Miami while the plane was still on the runway. Passengers said they heard a large boom when they were about to take off, which no one wants to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Quickly, all 173 passengers and 6 crew members were evacuated from the craft. But yeah, you're not supposed to take anything with you. I didn't know this, but they are very strict about the fact that if that ever happens, don't grab your stuff, grab your child, grab yourself, and get the you-know-what off that flight as quickly as possible, especially because the freaking plane was on fire.
Yes, the wheel was on fire. Now listen, they tell you before you take off, when they go through the safety thing and invent an emergency and use the slide, do not grab your stuff out of out of the overhead. Leave everything.
Do they say that during the...
Yes, they do.
Time?
Yes, they do.
Shame on me. I'm being serious. Mm-hmm. I try to be. Ever since we did a show once and asked flight attendants to call in and say, are you bothered when you're not being paid attention to during the instructions that we've all heard a million times? And they all said, yes, we are bothered by that. I've made a very conscious effort to pay attention mm-hmm. to them, no matter how many times I've flown or no matter how many times I've thought I've heard this. And I did not know that they said mm-hmm. that until just now.
And there's a good reason for it, because you reaching up, trying to grab things out and try to get down the aisle. Think about how difficult it can be sometimes when you're getting on the plane with your carry-on and then trying to put it up in the overhead bin. Imagine now it's an emergency and everybody needs to get off quickly. You stopping everything because you got to grab your bag. Joining us now is a flight attendant named Scotty, and we wanted to get his perspective on this.
Hey, Scotty, thanks for joining us. What were your thoughts when you saw the footage of the Denver flight evacuation?
Infuriating. I mean, that was just, it's so crazy to see these videos over and over and over. The first thing that the flight attendants will do is say, leave everything behind, come this way. Leave everything behind, come this way. And when just seconds matter, getting off of a plane, especially an emergency evacuation, obviously, you stopping to get the bag from underneath your seat or the overhead bin, I mean, that can cost a life. But at the same time, I wonder how much of that is just muscle memory. People that are just so freaked out that they're just grabbing and going.
I was going to say, there's two examples from that video that I took away. One father who did it wrong, who was clearly grabbed an overhead bag because it was the one with the handle. So that's not under the seat, that big one, going down the slide with his kid in one hand. And because he's not prepared to be holding his child correctly, he falls and lands on his kid in his bag. But then there was another dad who did it right. He had his child on his chest with his arms across, and they jumped onto the slide and slid down, and he had no problem. So it was the best and the worst example in that video.
In training, they'll actually tell you if it's holding up the line of people getting out, just take it out of their hands, throw it outside, or just move it, you know, throw it into the galley, throw it someplace else if they've got their bag.
Scott, as a flight attendant, have you ever been in an experience like that?
No, not at all. Not at all, but trained over and over and over for it. Fire is the most dangerous thing in any airline, you know, cabin, so you train for that over and over and over. And the flight attendants, you know, every year they go back and they get recertified, and it's just muscle memory at that point when the captain comes on and says, evacuate, and then there are things that you do to check and see where the danger is before you ever open that door and pop the slot.
By the way, I like how Scott, a trained flight attendant, says, we have to evacuate, all calm. If it was me, I'd be like, we have to get the hell out of here right now! Right now! Go, go, go!
I would like to have seen you have a word with the people who were trying to grab their bags out of the overhead, John.
You know, honestly, when Scott said that, I guess I don't know what I would do. Muscle memory, Scott has a good point. You just mm-hmm. grab your bag and you leave. But people are notorious for not listening on airplanes anyway.
Yes.
So why would they listen when there's an emergency?
Yeah, and they're telling them as the emergency's happening. Well, and this is just a great reminder to us to pay attention and listen.
Thanks, guys.
Oh, no, Scott, thank you. Safe flying to everybody. John and Tammy, San Diego's Morning Show on KSON. I never heard of the company Astronomer. Probably you hadn't either until the Coldplay concert incident.
Most people had never heard of this company, but what's a company to do when something like this happens?
They certainly have a good sense of humor, as they have hired Gwyneth Paltrow to be their unofficial temporary spokesperson. Gwyneth Paltrow, of course, is the ex-wife of Coldplay lead singer Chris Martin, so it kind of goes hand in hand.
You have to check it out. It's brilliantly done.
Thank you for your interest in Astronomer. Hi, I'm Gwyneth Paltrow. I've been hired on a very temporary basis to speak on behalf of the 300-plus employees at Astronomer. Astronomer has gotten a lot of questions over the last few days, and they wanted me to answer the most common ones. Yes, Astronomer is the best place to run Apache Airflow, unifying the experience of running data, ML, and AI pipelines at scale. We've been thrilled so many people have a newfound interest in data workflow automation.
Even listening to that, I still have no idea what they do. Apache? What? What?
Yeah.
Huh?
But you have
Airflow?
To watch, what? You have to watch the video to see what the actual questions are, because that's what really makes it even funnier. then the whole fact that Chris Martin's ex-wife from Coldplay is the one who's the spokesperson, it's just well done. And what are you going to do? I mean, it's not the company's fault, right? And certainly not the 300 other people who work for that company. But now everybody knows the company's name.
What do they do?
I think she was speaking a different language. Was that English even?
I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
John and Tammy, San Diego's morning show on KSON.